You know how some people take the something negative and make something positive out of it. Well, I came in this morning and told them that my throat was bad, and Pam said, well, good, you won't preach as long. So she's definitely making something positive out of it. So for her sake, I plan on going for as long as I can, as long as my voice will hold out. Sure do appreciate you being here this morning, and as we go through this lesson, hopefully you'll understand even more why I appreciate you being here. Certainly is good to see Paul and his family. We've prayed about him several times, Debbie has asked us to, and we certainly are grateful for that. And of course, Nancy is just grinning from ear to ear this morning. Well, okay, maybe not. There she is, grinning from ear to ear. Have two more grandchildren with her today, and that's very important. I can't do any better than that, so if somebody might have to turn it up, because that's the best I can do. In Psalm 122, 1 through 4, it says, I was glad, this is David, when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that's compact together, where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. David, living under a law that was imperfect, certainly was so happy when they could go up to the city of Jerusalem and be at the temple and be there together. And of course, the men were required to come to Jerusalem at least three times a year for the feast. And so he was so happy, not just for that, but for other times that he could be together with the children of Israel. Now, if he was that happy to do that, why wouldn't we also be happy to be assemble together, be assembling together? When we think about this, we use terms sometimes that, to me, are very confusing. Terms like, we're going to services. I'm like, well, we better not be going to services. We better be serving all the time. Services is something that we are to be doing 24/7. But assembling together, as it's brought out in the New Testament, is a totally different thing. That's when the saints chose a time, or God chose a time for His people to come together. God's always been the one that did the choosing on this, and He does it by a couple of different ways. One, by direction, and one by, if you will, letting us know that by approved example, they did certain things, and thus it was true. So if we're talking about this, and we're talking about assembling together, and we're thinking about this, there needs to be a place to assemble. And once that place is chosen, while that is going on, it is sanctified for God's work. It is set apart. That's what that word means, and it can only be used for that. Just like my house is only set apart, it's sanctified or holy for my use, because God set up the home and where we have come together as a family. So as a family of God, this is used for that purpose, for us to assemble together. And so we come here today to this assembly for spiritual reasons. The whole intent of this is for spiritual reasons. Just like David went up to be with them, it wasn't for a get-together and we're going to enjoy this. It was for worshiping God, serving Him faithfully while being with other saints. Again, we worship God 24/7. But as a church, there's some things really clear about this in the New Testament. I'm going to use a few of these just to make this point. In 1 Corinthians 11, certainly as he's talking about the church there, we use this lots of times when someone is presiding over the Lord's Supper. We talk about this fact that there's a coming together for this purpose. If you look at 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 17, it makes it clear that the purpose of this was this coming together. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. He's not talking about or condemning them because they came together or assembled together. He's condemning them because they were not doing it for spiritual purposes the way they should have. He doesn't appreciate, and neither did God, and neither did Jesus Christ, the way they were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so he talks about that issue through this whole thing. It was to be a very important thing. In 1 Corinthians 14, in talking about spiritual gifts and regulating them, just like we are regulated today, even though we don't have these spiritual gifts, he says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place. So he uses a couple of different terms that we can talk about later, but when we look at these, we see the whole church, and then he even wants to be clear about that, comes together in one place. That's an assembly. And he's talking about spiritual purposes here. And he wants people to know that. And he talks about the fact that sometimes while you're assembled together, there may be unbelievers even come into your assembly or into that place. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together? How do we know for spiritual purposes? Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Strictly spiritual purposes. Once God sets it in place, we cannot change that. In Acts 20, verse 7, we see clearly that the church there came together for a purpose. Again, in this case, for partaking of the Lord's Supper. We see them at this being an approved example because Paul was there with them. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message into midnight for spiritual purposes. In 1 Corinthians 5, we see another spiritual purpose. While they came together, and we can see this was clearly something the church of Corinth had been instructed to do, just like we found in 1 Corinthians 11. In this passage, they have a problem in the local church. While they're together for spiritual purposes, this man is to be withdrawn from. And he goes through this whole thing through 1 through 4. And in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together. Spiritual purposes. In Acts 11, verse 26, we see this was a common practice, that they were doing this all the time. Barnabas brought Saul, departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul assembled with the church and taught a great many people. What did they assemble with the church for that purpose? Thank you. Pam, I can go longer now. One of the first passages that we, or one of the first words that's used, there's a bunch of them. Ecclesia is one of them. You can see how many times it's used. And in the King James Version, you can also see how many times it's used and translated this way. It is strictly for a purpose. Now, I want to be quite clear about this. This word also was used to talk about a riotous group coming together. It is a word talking about the assembling together for a set purpose. Sometimes in the New Testament, he uses this word to talk about a group that we'd get together for the wrong purpose. He's not approving of that. But other times, most of the time, he's talking about they came together for a purpose. They are this called out group or church. Many times that's translated. Called out, forth, church or assembly, local, universal, or saved, in Hebrews 12:23 as well. Synagogue is a word that talks about the fact that we know in James 2 that when he said when they would come into their assembly, that when a poor man would come in, letting us know that it was a practice already by the time James wrote this. You can also see how this is normally translated. And we know what a synagogue is. It was a place where they assembled together to study God's Word. The Jews did. We understand this principle. Synago is a word. Let me bring it back here or try to bring it back. There we go. It's used in 1 Corinthians 5:4 where I just used it, but it's mostly in the Gospels, Acts, and Revelation. It means to be gathered together. Again, most of the time discussing for spiritual purposes. Sunakomee is, or me, is a word that's used. We just talked about this from 1 Corinthians 11. Most of those instances in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Corinthians 14 is this word is talking about them gathering together, coming together in one place. You can see all those meanings there. Sunathorazo is a word that means to gather together or call together. So, in this instance, in Acts 12:12, we know they came together, many of them, to pray together. So, to assemble means, for the most part, we have decided to be with a local congregation somewhere. It is impossible for us to assemble with all the Christians all over the world today. It's just impossible. We can't do it. So what we've determined to do is come to this local congregation and assemble together. Now, we may be somewhere else, and we could be with another local congregation. Now, how do we know this? Well, they continued together after being baptized in Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And did you notice again? All spiritual purposes, every one of them. Paul wanted to be a part of a local church. In Acts 2:26, and when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. He went to a local group there that was assembling together. He tried to join himself. They wouldn't let him do it because they were scared of him at this point. Barnabas had to tell them, don't concern yourself about it. He now is a Christian. The church at Troas, as we've already mentioned, assembled to partake of the Lord's Supper. They came together to break bread. This group had decided because God wanted them to assemble together. When did they do this? On the first day of the week. So we see something in this proved example that the time to partake of the Lord's Supper is limited to this example on the first day of the week. It's the only example we have of a day of when we partake of it. So it has to be on the first day of the week. What time on the first day of the week? He doesn't give a time. We can make that choice as a local group. We choose what time we want to. If we chose at 6 o'clock tonight or 8 o'clock tonight or whatever we chose, that would be fine. But we need to do what is commanded by God. We'll see that later on. The church at Corinth did this as well, as we already talked about in 1 Corinthians 11. They as well came together. Although they had not partaken properly, they had assembled properly. He was not condemning them for coming together. He was only condemning them for not partaking the Lord's Supper in a proper manner. So he wanted to correct that one aspect of the Lord's Supper. They were, again, instructed. We use this passage frequently. Now, I know that this passage is talking about taking up funds for needy saints. But it limits us on when we can take up funds. It is the only scripture, again, and when's it to be done? Well, this one is specific. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders. That's pretty clear. Paul's not saying, as I gave a suggestion. I thought about this for a while, and it's me. No, he's not doing this, as we talked about in the class today. This is through the Holy Spirit. It lets us know that this day had been set aside. So as a result of that, when they came together on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. We can clearly see from this they were instructed to give on the first day of the week. This infers that they met every first day of the week. He didn't say, well, the first day of the week of the first month of the... He didn't say any of that. How do we know? Well, in the Old Testament, he was specific about a day, a month, and a time. In this, he's not. He didn't give a time here to do that on the first day of the week, but it implies when they came together. Now, let's use some reasons we should assemble. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, you mean Jesus commanded this? Absolutely he did, and we'll look at those later on. Well, we need to serve as a good example. We need to let our light shine. How many people today saw you leave the house knowing where you went? How many people know that every first day of the week you're going to be gone? You're going to go to the assembly. Because in Matthew 5, when we read this, we are just like those Jews, the salt of the earth, the light that is on a hill. We need to be that type of people. We need to let people know that we're trying to serve God. Question on this, and I'll talk about this also a little bit later. So, you say, well, I have a job, and you mention a place. And then we find out, well, you've never been there. You went one time, but you don't really have a job there. Now, would people really believe you have a job there if you never go and, excuse the term, assemble with those folks? You're teaching in a school, but you're never there? That doesn't work that way, does it? If we're going to be a good example, if we are a teacher at a school and yet we're never there, do you really think that's going to make the students think, wow, I need to be here? No, that doesn't work that way. So let's read what Christ said in Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There will be no mistaking that you're trying to follow God. We demonstrate our faith by our works in James 2:18. Someone says, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know what my faith prompted me to do today? Come here. Not because I'm the preacher here, but because this is something I've done all my life, because I believe it's something that is good for me, and I want to do it. I also want to be with the Lord. He said that when in taking the Lord's Supper, we could be with the Lord. He said in Hebrews 2, and quoting from the Old Testament, that when His saints would gather together under this new law, guess what He would be doing with them in verses 11 and 12? For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, of which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. I'll be right there with you when you're worshiping the God of heaven. Also, so we can grow. All of us need to grow. We need to continually build each other up. In our class this morning, we were able to talk about several things and bounce ideas and thoughts off of each other from God's Word. And as we looked at God's Word, it's beneficial to every one of us. We all gain from that. So why did He do this in the first place? Well, in Ephesians 4:11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Why? For the perfecting the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. He was concerned. He said they would be tossed to and fro and carried about by every strange doctrine. If we don't come together, if we don't talk about God's Word and we don't assemble together, we're not going to know much, because we're never going to get an opportunity to learn much except for what we can learn on our own. When we look at the rest of this passage, we certainly see that the whole idea of this is in verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Well, we're joined and knit together, but we never come together. It doesn't work that way. According to the effective working by which each part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He's not talking about in number here. He's talking about us building each other up, strengthening each other. As Roger puts it, recharging each other. We get our batteries down, and some of us, I've got a cell phone now, the battery just goes to zero in a heartbeat. So I have to stick it right back on that charger again if I'm going to use it. Well, that can happen to us. Sometimes we get weak and our battery goes down. We need to make sure we can grow to increase our knowledge of God's Word. How else are we going to do it? Well, maybe we could read. Yes, we could. But again, it's so beneficial to come together. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on Him in whom not believed, and how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. There would be men that would publicly proclaim God's Word, and they would continue to do that so that our knowledge would increase. We sit at the feet of people who are teaching God's Word. In Nehemiah 8:8, even in the Old Testament, they came together after they came back from being in bondage for 70 years. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave it sense and helped them to understand the reading. That's the purpose. That's why men get up and teach, so that they can help us in that. It's essential, the local work. Local work cannot go on without us coming together. Question. If one person has a right to refuse, and of course we do, to assemble together, wouldn't you make an argument then all can? He made a point about this in Acts 10, talking to Cornelius, where he said God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect one person over another. He doesn't look at one person in this audience as greater than another or less than another. We all need to be here. So if one can refuse to come, so can we all. Would you have thought anything would be wrong if I just chose not to come this morning? Well, yeah, I'm the preacher. I have to be here. No, I don't have to be here any more than you have to be here. We want to be here. It's essential to this local work. And if all refuse to assemble, Where would the local congregation be? And how could she fulfill her mission? Each one of us needs the fellowship, the teaching, the encouragement, and spiritual strength derived from assembly. Every one of us. There's not a person in this room has grown to the point that they don't need this anymore. Paul never grew to the point that he did not need to be around other Christians and be with them. When we fail to properly eat food in this life, when a child will not eat, they will not grow. They will lose their physical health, and over time they will die. Well, if we don't get proper spiritual food, guess what happens? The same thing. So assembling is very important. It is one of those things that God wanted us to do. Because He realized the need for coming together, and He understood as individuals just how weak we are. He understands that a lot more than we do. It's an interesting thing. We understand that in every other aspect of life. Play for a sport team, and then don't show up and see how they look at it. And then if everybody doesn't show up, guess what you do? You forfeit the game. Or don't show up to a job for a while and see how they appreciate that. Or don't go to school. And pretty soon, they won't let you go to school. Isn't that interesting? We understand that. Or don't show up at your family. Just tomorrow, decide you're not going back to where your family gets together at your house. How long are you going to have a family? See, we understand all of that. So why is it we have so many problems with it in the Lord's church? Why is it that people don't understand the importance of it? So I'm going to say something. Thank you for being here today. It means a lot to me. When I look over the audience, you have no idea what it means to me to look at you looking back at me. It means so much. And if I was back there looking the other way, it would mean equally as much. I appreciate it so much. I don't need to be looking at you to appreciate you, but I do appreciate the fact that as a preacher, I do get to look at the audience. But let me tell you something. It means even more to God. It means something to me for my personal salvation. But to God, it means you love Him. It means today you showed Him that you love Him very much by being here. You love Him so much that you came today to be with other Christians, to honor Him, and to remember His Son's death on the cross. But if you're not a Christian, think seriously about your condition today. It is so serious, because if we aren't a part of the local church, because God does the adding to the church, we don't do the adding. To be added to the local church, we find in Acts 2 that they had to do certain things. In their case, they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So then Peter said, "Repent then and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." You want your sins remitted, he said? You need to repent. You need to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Now, if that's something you need to do today, we sing a song to make it very convenient for someone to do that. And we will take care of that. Or, as I've said so many times, anytime during my lesson. Or if you're a Christian and you're not living as you should, think seriously about your condition today. I will say this, if we're not in the assembly here, we won't be in the assembly there. If you have any need, I'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?